Making the world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
All right. Grab that ass, Alright, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am so glad to be here, folks.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time.
Yeah.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Alright. Jumped the gun a little bit on that one. But anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. The George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. It's easy to find me. And it's been, I'm here. I'm so glad to be here at the start of the week of this show. Got a brand new week, a brand new slate of guests to be on the show. And the guest today we're expecting is Tina Gale. And that should be interesting. She sounds like a movie star. She might be. She could be. I mean, I have a lot of television and movie personalities on the show. She could be. We'll just have to find out when she gets here what's on her agenda. Okay. This is Monday, folks. Monday, the last week of April, in case you're podcasting this show at a later date, you know that this is Monday and we have the rest of the week. We go all the way till Thursday. The show is 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, Central Standard Time, Chicago time. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm all booked. I can't even say it. I'm all easier for me to say, right? I'm all booked up for May. Yeah, we're all booked up. I mean, I try to do all this stuff in advance. And I am the producer of the show. If you're wondering who the producer is, I have people calling, George Wilder, who is your producer? Yours truly. I am the producer of the show. Nobody puts this show on for me. I have to do everything myself. I mean, why would you pay someone to do something you can do? It keeps me busy. It's a job, but I produce the show. Everything, the music, all of it, the clips, all of it. It's fun. It really is fun. And I do enjoy it. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let me see if I can promote this show. Can I promote it? Let's give it a shot, huh? All righty. Let's try Facebook. Okay, something comes up. You know, something's always... I mean, when you're dealing with computers, folks, you're literally walking on eggshells. You don't know what the hell is going to happen. You just do the best you can at what you can do because it's fun. Doing the show is fun. I love doing it. And I think it releases a lot of the stress and a lot of anxiety. And that's why I try to bring on to the listeners and also to the people who appear on the show. I don't always have guests on the show. Sometimes, you know, it's just me. And I love it. I love it when it's just me. You know, because I want to show people that I can handle the show even if a guest decides not to show up. But preferably, yeah, I would rather have guests on the show. It's a show, right? You want people to participate. 347-857-1717. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And let's take it back to the episode information. Okay, we have author Tina Gale and commentary as usual. It could be politics. It could be political. It could be anything that's happening in the news that I think you should know about. Oh, man, we're going to talk about the store closings. We got so many of these stores closing, folks. They are closing their doors. So we're going to talk about that maybe at the 7 o'clock hour. Maybe. I don't know. But if we can't get to it today, which I'm going to try, we can always get to it sometime in the week or maybe by tomorrow. Who knows? So because it's just phenomenal at all of the stores. It just makes you sad and kind of sick to knowing that Sears is going to close, Kmart, Radio Shack. We're going to be talking about this. It's sad. Dominick's, you know, all of these stores closing, and a lot of people wonder what the hell is the reasoning behind it. We're going to get into that. All right. I mean, everybody is saying something about the face-off in Paris, France. Okay, the face-off in Paris, France. Ex-Fox host, she's saying she was spied on and terrorized by executives at Fox News. What else is new? I've said this 1,000 times. Fox News should be taken off the damn air. It's a rogue-ass, you know, television station. It's a rogue-ass organization, news organization, if you can call it news. They lie, they spin, they treat people like they're, you know, it's an organization run by a bunch of gangsters. That's all it is. Gangsters and thugs and people with power who push around those with no power. You know, it's a rogue organization. They should take it off television. They should just take it off and just throw it out and throw it into the toilet or something. Fox News is just an awful organization that should not even exist anymore. And you know what? It might come to fruition with all these complaints of sexual harassment and other things within this organization. It could come to fruition that Fox News shall be taken off the air. If it does, if it is taken off the air, it's going to be a blow to Donald Trump. As we all know, Fox News is where Donald Trump gets his information. Fox, and then he tweets about it, right? I mean, it's going to be a blow. I mean, this is going to be one outlet that Trump will not be able to get his information from because he totally relies. President Donald Trump totally relies on Fox News in order to run the White House, you know. anyway, it's more of the same coming out of Fox News, and we'll see where that goes. Okay, I want to mention Aaron, Happy Day star. Aaron, if we can find her, let's see, can we find her? Let's see, she's not here. She was all over the place yesterday, but I wasn't on the air yesterday. Okay, here's another asshole at Fox. Sean Hannity, this guy, former Fox News guest, walks back claim Sean Hannity sexually harassed her. Okay, all right. Okay, first this woman came out from Fox News saying that Sean Hannity harassed her, okay? Sean Hannity is one of those assholes on Fox News with his bull crap show. And now she's saying that he did not touch her. You know, he did not touch her. And you wonder how much had this Hannity pay her off to have her retract her claim of sexual harassment from him, of him. You know, a lot of these times when people are say something and damaging about some other powerful celebrity, they are usually accosted by someone in the organization, and this person recants because somebody offers her some money. Now, is that what actually happened? Maybe not, but it happens. People get paid off to shut their mouths or to recant. Sean Hannity has been a total asshole at Fox. He treated people badly. I'm hearing that he's in talks. He talks to President Obama. I mean, not Obama, but President Donald Trump, giving him advice and all that kind of thing. I couldn't care less if that's happening. I couldn't care less if Trump and Hannity are talking. It's not going to do anything for my situation. I mean, it just, it's what we have. It's what we have. So, but you know what? I kind of wish it was true, and I kind of wish it would stick, because Hannity, I used to listen to the guy's radio station, and I was appalled by some of the rhetoric and the heated talk against liberals and people in general. I mean, Hannity is a rich hack, you know, so. And wow. Yeah. All righty. That's the State Department appoints Fox News anchor as spokesman. Oh, man. Yeah, well, Fox News all over the place. There was something in Huffington Post or somewhere where it said allegedly, I'm going to say that Sarah Palin was sexually harassed. We got to get to more in detail, because that's what it said here. It said Sarah Palin possibly had been harassed. Well, we got to wait and see how that goes. Okay. Obama, yeah, President Obama, ex-president, former President Obama is back in Chicago. He's finally, you know, out in the public again. I know people say, where has he been? I say he's been hiding, but that's just me. And he's back and he's talking. But, you know, Obama is, okay, what does it say? Obama returned to public life to champion a next generation of leaders. How in the hell can he champion? Okay, this is my thoughts, folks. How can he champion leaders when I didn't think much of him as a leader? And I still don't. I still don't, because a lot of people, millions of people around the world, were thinking that Obama was going to come out and fight the resistance against Donald Trump. That's what most people wanted. That's what I wanted, because we needed a leader to do that. But Obama has refused. He has refused to fight back against Donald Trump and his onslaught of negativity on the face of the earth and America itself. He refuses to fight. He said he's not going to fight. He said he's going to do nothing. My thing is, then why in the hell did you come back? Why in the hell did you come out of hiding or wherever you were or vacationing? Why? If you're not going to get out here and help take this country back from a bunch of racist extremists and a bunch of liars. That's what people wanted. But now he's sitting here looking like an old man. He looks older than I am. Looking like an old man and saying that he is not going to get in the fray with Donald Trump and the Republicans. I mean, the guy is a coward. Then why come back? America needs someone like Obama more than ever to fight against, to resist against Donald Trump and his agenda, extreme agenda about building a damn wall. Okay. He's going to build a wall. He wants, there's going to be a funding bill going through Congress, I think sometime next week, to keep the government from shutting down. And included in that funding bill is going to be money to build a wall. Now, how does Obama feel about that? How does he feel about Donald Trump and his big tax cuts for the rich? How does he feel about immigration, all of these deportations that taking place and money that soon will be taken away from sanctuary cities that protect actually a lot of illegal immigrants in this country? Now, he's saying he's going to try to champion the next generation of leaders. Leaders of what? He talks as if he's not a leader anymore. He can, President Barack Obama, ex-President Barack Obama, can be a great ex-president if he can. Look at President Jimmy Carter, a great ex-president. He's better being an ex-president than he was being president of the United States, actually being president. So can Obama. But Obama has to get on the side of the people. He's not on the side of the people. Obama is on the side of Obama. Even when he was president, especially in his first term, you know, it was questionable. It was very questionable. We were scared that he was going to side with the Republicans. We started saying that he was a Republican. He just told everybody he was a Democrat so he can get a lot of votes. But anyway, so if you were counting on Obama to help you in the resistance against Trump, forget it. Forget it. It ain't going to happen. Obama done made a lot of money, and he's going to continue to make a lot of money, and it's not going to be about impeaching Trump from breaking every rule in the Constitution. I think the guy is just still afraid of the Republicans, or he is a secret Republican himself. Okay, that's my criticism. Yeah, I'm critical of Obama. I've always have been. I think I have the right to be critical. You can disagree with me all you want. I voted for him twice, okay? I have the right. If I feel like I've been disappointed in him, you know, I'm not by myself. There's lots of people out there. You know, I have a voice. You have a voice, you know, so, and I just voiced it. I just think he's a disappointment, and he continues to be a disappointment because he refuses to, you know, be on the side of the people. But hey, wow, we don't need Obama. We can get out here and do our own thing. Obama said he's not going to get into the fray, period. So why are you wanting to make a new generation of leaders if you're not a leader? You're not a leader. I don't look at him as a leader. So how can someone who is not a leader, in my estimation, encourage others to be leaders? I think you have to be a leader. I don't think Obama is a leader. So he's back in Chicago, folks. He's back in Chicago, and he's giving speeches, but he says he's not going to jump into the fray when it comes to politics and the White House. So he's not going to jump into the fray. So you can forget that. So we're back at square one with Obama. If you've been listening to the show, weeks ago I've been saying, where's Obama? Where's Obama? I thought he was hiding. I mean, he probably was. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm just getting my rant off, folks. It is 6:18 in Chicago p.m., and it's great. It's still light outside. The sun is out. I was out earlier today. We were out and strolling in the sun. It was just beautiful. It was wonderful. And hopefully we can get more weather like this. We can get more weather like this. Someone just called and asked, why doesn't he want to fight back against the Trump lies, especially when he said that Obama tapped the Trump White House wiretap. I'm pretty sure everybody heard that. And we all wanted Obama to sue him. Obama's not going to sue nothing. Obama's not going to even entertain the idea of suing this guy for the mountain of lies he's told on Obama. And it's just bewildering to me to let Trump get away with all the lies and the twisted ideas that he has said and all those rotten things that he's said about Obama. And Obama's just letting this ride. And he still thinks he's above it all. He still thinks of himself as a classy guy. But you know what? The Republicans are always winning. This is how they win, because Democrats back down. This is how Democrats get their ass kicked. they don't fight back like Obama is not doing. He's not fighting back against all those terrible things that Donald Trump has said about him. He doesn't fight back, or he hasn't fought back against all of those Republicans who have said nasty and low down things about his wife and family, calling them monkeys in the White House. He doesn't fight. He doesn't have it in him to fight. And I've been saying this for years with some of the coworkers that I used to, my former coworkers. I used to say Obama was like a child in a playground getting beat up by bullies. He was a child in the playground being beat up by bullies. And they knock him down, kick him up his ass, and he get up off the ground and offer them a lollipop. And they take it and still kick his ass. And it's been that way in my thinking, and it's been that way for a long time, and it's the same thing. He doesn't fight. When you don't fight, when you don't take up for yourself, and you don't take up for your family, your wife, and your kids, when somebody says something nasty, they are going to keep on doing it. The only way you're going to stop a bully from harassing you or just plain old bullying you all the time, you've got to show them that you can fight back. You don't fight back, they're going to continue to kick you. Obama is in his 50s. He should know that, but he doesn't have it. He doesn't have any fighting in his, not in a literal sense, fighting, but just, you know, just out there bringing it to him, verbally fighting, if you want to say that. He just doesn't have it in his DNA. He doesn't have it in his DNA. Somebody call Michelle an ape, and she should be in a damn zoo with a lot of other apes. He didn't say anything. And now if that was my wife and I was president, I would go after the person who said that. You know, I mean, you've got to get down in the mud with these people. As long as Obama does not fight, does not talk up, does not defend himself against all of these accusations, these lies that other people bestow upon him, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it. Like I said before, I voted for the guy twice, so I have a right to criticize him. I know a lot of people out there, well, George, he's a great president. He's above it all. Yeah, okay. Democrats are above it all. That's why they keep getting their asses kicked. They're above it all. Maybe they should come down and linger in the mud a little while with the Republicans. They might win something. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk. All right, folks, that's my rant. I love the rant. It feels good. It also reduces the stress. The stress. And okay, it says here, North Korea plotting. Oh, wow. They are always plotting, showing a new show of force, North Korea, threatening the United States military. Oh, well, North Korea is a very, very small country. And I don't know. I actually think that they're testing Donald Trump to see if he really has the balls to do anything. But we'll just have to see where that goes. I've heard a lot of people say, and they've told me, well, George, we're going to get blown up. They're going to. All right, then enjoy your time on the earth, because this may be your last. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's 6:24 by my clock. We got 5 more minutes. I can see we have someone on the phone right now. So let's take a break and then we'll come back and get that. Let's see what we got. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and we will get the phone call.
my son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Okay, welcome back to the show. All right, we're not going to let the caller wait any longer. We're going to go and see what's up. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
George, this is Tina Rao.
Yes.
I mean, Tina Gale. Tina okay. Gale, I'm sorry.
Okay, I've said, uh-oh, I got the wrong name down here on my list here. Who?
I told you the wrong name. Are okay. we ready, or if you want me to call back? I didn't mean to get here early. I was just calling in to listen, and I wasn't sure how exactly to do it without saying I was a caller.
No problem. I mean, we can do it now because it's just about there. So you're not that too far off. So, you know, you're Tina Gale. You're an author, right?
That is correct. I am.
And you do romance novels?
Yes, I do. I do romance. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. In fact, you're a little bit too loud, but...
Okay, I'll be quiet.
No, not that. I'm just saying. Okay, give everybody a bio, a short bio, and tell us about your work.
My name is Tina Gale. I have been an author now I was first published in 2008. I've been writing since about 2000. I write romance, which, you know, some people don't enjoy romance. Personally, I love it. I like to put a lot of women fiction in my romance. I have a website. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere you can think to find me. I'm trying to think of something that you don't know about me. I was once a programmer before I became an author, and before that I worked in accounting for years, so I was in the business world for years before I decided to write. I have two
boys.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm open to whatever question
general,
you have.
In general, how do you feel about writing? Have you grown to love it? Is it something you think you'll be able to you gonna do from now on, or it's just a hobby?
Oh no, it's not a hobby. I've written over probably 25, 30 books.
It's not a hobby if you did that. No.
No, it's not a hobby. I write under two different names. I write under Tina Gale.
Okay.
And I write under Anita Fillmore, which is more on the erotic side. It's erotic romance, mm-hmm. which it's not erotica. There is a difference between erotica and erotic romance. But
okay.
I write erotic
All
romance.
Right.
And
okay.
I did for a while write young adult. I wrote one story, but it just was not my passion. I'm mm-hmm. just now working on a story that in about a month, I'm going to submit to Amazon Kindle, and it's more of a romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of,
you know,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I also write. I do a little romance. I do clean romance. I don't, but basically I do a lot of action. But once in a while I'll do a love story. And because I've always been romantic at heart. And I think it's fun whenever you take all the guns and the explosions and, you know, and bad language out of, go right ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, George, is, you know, if you look at a thriller, you know, we could pick a thriller. A lot of, you know, the action books, there's romance in an action book. And it just depends on the author as to how deep it goes. I mean, there's always the little flirting with the girls. And sometimes, you know, they will have, like, I remember one I've read that, you know, at the beginning of the book, it was hot. I mean, we're talking very sexy. And, you know, it was sort of to give you an idea of the guy's character. So, I mean, whenever you're writing a story personally, I think whether it's action thriller or whatever, if it's for an adult, to show them as a full person, you need to show them, you know, having romantic interest, whatever type of interest.
You know what? I totally agree with you, because most of the novels that I write, and I do write sometimes detective fiction, action fiction, I do add a little romance in there, a little emotion in everything that I write, because like you said, the character, you have to make that character human. So you got to give that character a love interest, and they're going to be making out, you know, it's going to be romantic, but then it's going to get back into the action. I totally agree.
Well, even if you have, like, I have, like I was telling you about the story I'm working on right now that hasn't come out yet. In that story, you know, they're part of, you know, it's a murder mystery kind of thing. And, you know, they're talking and they're having fun, like, you know, flirting or whatever. And then for whatever reason, they get a call and suddenly they're switched into, oh, we got to go find, you know, somebody died or something, you know, so life goes on. You switch from, I mean, think about your own life. I mean, how many times I'm married, so, you know, how many times you're kissing your wife or whatever and your kids are hanging on your legs and you're like, okay, I got to kiss everybody in the whole family, you know, but it's just, you know, it's part of life. I mean, or at least we all hope it is, because, I mean, I think all of us want love in our life, you know, so.
Yeah.
I like romance. A lot of people say, well, I don't like it because it always ends happily. And, you know, personally, that's why I love romance, is because how many things do we go into where we don't know the outcome? We don't know that we're going to have that happy ending. And personally, when I read, I want to escape. I want to know that even though these people have gone through hell, like all of us have, that at the end of it, or before I close that book, they're going to believe, it may not happen, but they're going to believe that they're going to be together and have a life together and be happy.
I've written a few short stories, love stories, and I love love stories, but I do more action. At the end of, most of the time, at the end of every story that I write, it's not a happy ending. You know, it's not a happy ending. I might leave the story open for part two or something like that, or leave the reader expecting there's going to be more down the road. It's never a happy ending with me. I always try to give them that little twist at the end, make them think it's going to be a happy ending, and then, you know, disappoint them.
Now, see, that would upset me as a reader, because it's sort of like Gone with the Wind. You know, in the Gone with the Wind, she goes, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and he walks out the door. And she kind of says, well, tomorrow I'll deal with it, you know? And it's sort of like, you know, I want to know that tomorrow, I want to know that tomorrow they're going to be together. And, you know, in some ways, it's really, I guess, kind of pessimistic. You know, if you think about it, sort of like Cinderella, you know, she gets her Prince Charming, but we never really find out if she likes being a prince, I mean, a queen, you know, or a princess. You don't get the rest of the story, you know, and for you, you're, you know, like I tease people with my books, like I will have a story, like I have a series, and it's about four women who lost their husbands in a car wreck. They were executives, and they all lost their husbands in this car wreck. And what you, the way I tease my reader is I get them to know all four women. So you're wanting to read the next book that's about one of the other women. You know, so that's kind of my way, because it's a way of teasing you, like, okay, like, for example, in the first book, it's about one lady, but you find out in the first book that one of the four women is pregnant. She's not married. I mean, her husband just died. And, well, not just died, but he died a while ago. You know, she's about 6 months pregnant. So you're kind of, you know, at the end of the first book, you're kind of going, well, I wonder what happened to Brett, you know, to Bree. And so the second book is about Bree having the baby. You know, so it is, you know, that series thing that we writers kind of just love, because we like talking about our characters and we don't want to give them up because we kind of fall in love with them too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I can understand giving them that teaser.
Yeah. Yeah. Tina, I know you know that there's a lot of writers out there, and most writers, a lot of writers, put it this way, every writer is different. Every writer is not the same. Every author is different. You know, the way I might do a romance story, you may disagree with it, or the way you do, I might disagree with it. But hey, wow, we still have readers out there. You know?
I agree with 100%, and I love that. I actually love that about us. You know, because what new authors find frustrating, and I can say I found it frustrating too, is, you know, they'll get a review and people are like, oh, I don't like this book. And they're like, oh, that's awful. Oh, I just can't stand this, you know. And I'm like, that person is not your reader. For whatever reason, they read the book, yes, but they're not your reader. And just like what you just said, George, is books that you write, you speak to people. And those people that your story resonates with are your readers. And they love them because it resonates with them. Whereas my book, people would read my books maybe that are your readers and go, oh my God, that woman, I could not stand her book. It was too sweet. I didn't like the characters. No. You know, whatever the reason. But they're not my readers. You know, they're your readers. You know, and that's not to say that you can't have a reader. Like, I was in the bookstore today, and I was standing there, and I was eavesdropping on these two women who were in the romance section. And they were talking about different authors. And so I just couldn't resist. I just couldn't resist. So I kind of went over and I was like, well, who do you like? And they're saying, oh, I like this author and I like that author. And I said, you know, and then they would say, well, I don't really like that one. And I like this one. And so I was like, well, you know, I read this person and I read that person. And you might like this one or you might like that one, because they have similar stories. Now, that's not to say that that person would like them, but I've read both. And I like, you know, a number of different authors. Some of them I like because they're funny and they have a sense of humor. Some of them I like because they give a good, suspenseful story. You know, so it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in, you know, as to who I might want to read. But I read across the board, whereas, you know, somebody else might not. They may have a very narrow genre. And they may not read, but only, you know, a few authors in that narrow genre, which is okay, if that makes them happy. You know, every reader is as different as every author. You know, almost, when you think about it, I mean, we all have similarities, yes, but we don't all look at things the same way. So,
Tina,
you know, it's, yes.
There are 1,000 to 1,000,000 romance writers out there. And there has been everything you can think of written in a romance book. A lot of, don't you think, like, you take some authors like Nora Roberts, Danielle Steele, and some other romance writers out there, and that's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Do you think that a lot of these authors, every time they write a new romance book after they've written over 40 or 50 already, do you think that a lot of these romance writers who keeps on producing this kind of work, do you think a lot of that is just rehashed from older material?
Okay, I can't say for them. I can say for myself that no, you don't. Because I'm going to say it this way. You may follow, okay, for example, I have the book, again, I'm working on, and it's a mystery. It's a romantic suspense. And I have a very good girlfriend who is a mystery, murder mystery kind of author. She's very good. And she was telling me that I needed certain elements in my romantic suspense because she is a mystery author. And there are elements that you naturally have in a romantic suspense. There are elements that you naturally have in romance. Now, that's not to say that they're all alike. I think what happens is a lot of people, and this is the sad part, is a lot of people like a story. Let's say one of Nora Roberts, and I don't have anything against Nora Roberts. All romance writers think she's queen because she writes. I mean, she's very prolific. But she has certain elements that she puts in her story because that's what her readers like. Her readers, when they read her, they're looking for those elements. Now, if you read me and you read Nora, you would say, Tina, you don't write anything like Nora, but you write romance. What do you think it's? And it's because, again, back to what we just said, as your thrillers, the ones that you write, your action, you know, whatever your action book is about.
Yeah.
There are certain elements that you're going to put in your action book, right? I mean, if you
That's true. It's an
action.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if you do that, they'll say, well, that's George Wilder. That's the way he writes. That's Junior. That's George Wilder Jr. You know, because no matter what the story is, you're right. They're gonna want your fingerprint on your writing, no matter what story it is.
Right. And even though you write 30 George or 50 or 150, if you are a George Wilder fan, right? If I'm a fan, I am going to want certain elements in your story because I am used to seeing them in your story.
Exactly.
If you don't have them, if you don't have those, you're going to upset your readers. And, you know, that's why a lot of authors, and Nora Roberts is a perfect example, because Nora was writing romance, and she got a little bored with it. So she started J.B. Robb's. And if you read her J.B. Robb's series, you go, and I'm one of these people, and I'm a big fan of Nora, but I do not read J.B. Robb's. They are too dark for me. They have, for whatever reason, I do not like that series. But there's other people who have not read her romance, I think a lot of men, personally, that love it. They love the series, and when they would never even think about picking up a Nora Roberts book, but they are in love with J.B. Robb's. So, in some ways, authors get stifled because, let's say tomorrow, George, you decide, you know what, I would really like to write a young adult adventure story. and you decided to write a young adult adventure story. And who says you can't do it? You could. But you decide you're going to do this. Well, all your readers would go, I don't want to read this. I want to read what you've been writing, George. I don't want to read about a young adventure story. So, I mean, but, you know, you feel like you are burnt out because you've been putting out all these stories and you've been coming up with them and you're like, I can't come up with any more stories. I don't think that would be true, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you want to try something different. So, I mean, it's hard for readers to understand that they want the same story, but they're saying, but it's all the same. And if I don't do it the same, you get upset. If I do do it the same, you do it, get upset. Well, you know, I can't win here. You know, I'm just trying to write my story.
Yeah, yeah. Tina, do you think romance novels outsell action novels?
Okay, well, we could argue this one.
I've heard some people say that.
Well, it is. It's probably true. But what you have to remember, George, is they're okay. I would say that they do, but. Let me put a caveat with that. There are romantic action stories.
Yeah.
So let's say that you are someone who likes an action story. And you go, okay, I want an action story. And I'm going to go into the thriller because I want action, beat 'em up, shoot 'em up. You know, I want
James
car
Bond.
Cases. I want it all. Yeah, I want, well, James Bond is perfect. James Bond. Well,
okay.
What would happen if James Bond fell in love? I mean, we think he falls in love every time. You know, but
yeah,
what
does.
If he decided, let's say at the end of one of them, he gets married. What would we all do? You know, it's like, whoa, he's not going to have another girlfriend next time we watch this. Well, you know what's going to happen to her. She's going to die. You know, you already know she's going to die. Bond can't come alive. But what I'm saying is, I think for romances, there's a lot of women that read romance. There's men, too. Actually, there's a growing number of men that are reading romances. And I believe the reason why is because they're seeing that even though a book is a romance, you can have just as much action. You can have just as much suspense. You can have just as much. And there's authors that are out there that are doing it. You know, if you want a murder mystery, you can read a romance author that gives you all of that. I mean, it's just like, you know, and they're like, and they're more. They're easier to find sometimes. You know, you go to the half-price bookstore and you look in the romance section and there you're like, whoa! And then you go, you know, you go over to action and there may only be three, you know? I'm not saying that there's not a market for action. I'm just saying there's no reason you can't have both.
Yeah, I do. I do think there's a market for action because my books have been selling. So people, like I said before, I write action, but I always put that element of romance in there. I always put that element of emotion in there. Give those characters, you know, make them flawed, make them, I mean, really, really human beings. And I think that's what people like. And then they expect
exactly.
The action to follow. The action to follow.
Exactly.
Okay. Tina, we're running out of time here. Can you tell everybody where we can find your books? Give us a website. You've been marvelous and everything. Give us a website where we can find your books. Give us, if they're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, where can we find your books? And give us a title.
Okay, well, one of my, like I was talking about my executive wife club, the best place to go is my website. And that's www.Tina, T-I-N-A, gayle.com. And what's great about my website is it will give you a link to all of my different books, and I let you read the first chapter of all my books.
Okay.
And I even have a free book if you want to sign up for my newsletter.
Okay, great. www.tinagale.com on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do you have anything? Do you have a website? Okay, your website is where you can get your books, where you can find your books. Can we find them on Amazon also? Okay.
Yes, you can find them Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I have links to all of them.
Okay, and they're all romance books. So you are a romance author. Folks, she's an old romance author. If you love romance, this is the this is the girl to talk to. She knows all about it. And I want to thank you for being on the show. Would you like a link to this show, to this show that you're on? Maybe you can put it up on your website. Your readers can come by your website and listen to you while you're on the show on your website as you pitch your books.
That would be awesome. I've been out tweeting saying I've been visiting with you.
Yeah, I know. I got that tweet myself. I got it on my phone.
Okay.
All right, Tina Gale on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for visiting with me. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming by the show. And I would love to have you back.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. I appreciate it. I had fun.
Bye-bye. All right, Tina Gale on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Check out her books, folks, at www.tinagale.com. I know I'm going to go there. I'm going to check it out. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after.
All right, next on the to-do list, when we take over the DNC.
Oh, Michael. My God.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet. Electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the bloodstain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact half my life. I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our walls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love you. Thank you.
That is my girl, Ashley Judd. I love hearing that. I just love it. She's dead on the money, and she's been speaking all over the place, and I'm just now finding out about it. I would love to have her on the show, Ashley Judd, the actress, where I have seen her in so many movies. But I would love to have her on the George Wilder Jr. show right here. Maybe somebody will hear this and say, Ashley, George would love for you to come on this show and just talk. Okay, as I've said it from the beginning of the show, a lot of the stores, let's see if I can't lower this. A lot of the retail stores are closing. Yeah. I mean, retailers are closing thousands of stores and going bankrupt at a rate not seen since the recession. And tens of thousands of people are losing their jobs, folks. These stores are closing and people are losing their jobs. You know, some of the stores that we've grown up with, stores that have become fixtures and landmarks in our communities and in our neighborhoods, they're closing and people are losing their jobs. Okay. If you haven't heard about this, then well, then you're hearing about it now. You know, the effects of these job losses will hit local economies hard. wow, it's going to hit everybody hard, not just economies, but it's going to hit everything you can think of totally, totally hard. Now, some of the stores that are going to be closing in 2017 are haven't already closed, okay? If they have not already closed, they may be closing or will be closing. Number one is Radio Shack. Payless. Yeah, where you get, yeah, Payless Shoe Store. The Limited. Family Christians. H.H. Gregg. You following me, folks? Wet Seal, BB, Crocs, GameStop. GameStop. All, I mean, GameStop. I mean, that's where my son and I, we go pick up our video games, our video games. And they're closing. JCPenney, we've heard about that. BCBG, American Apparel. This is a lot of stores. Kmart, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Staples, CVS. I got one right across the street from me. CVS. Macy's, of course. Downtown Macy's. It used to be Marshall Fields until it turned to Macy's, and now it's closing. Abercrombie and Finch, if you know that store. Guess. Sears, of course. Gender Mountain, EMS. Bob Stores. This is just crazy. Seemed like something political could happen. And you said, George, why are they closing? Oh, it's simple semantics to why they're closing. The internet. It's the internet. A lot of people aren't walking in there. A lot of people are not walking into these stores, visiting these stores like they used to. And people are buying online. Whatever they want, they're getting it online. And these stores are suffering. I mean, a few years ago, I walked into a Sears department store. It was empty. And I just wished I had a bunch of money, because if I had, I'd have bought everything in there, because I love to shop. So, yeah, a lot of the these stores are closing. Radio Shack. I mean, I practically lived at Radio Shack, especially when I was, you know, doing a lot of fixing on electronics. I practically lived in Radio Shack. I was back and forth, getting this, that, this. It's just so horrible. And it's, we got one up here. We have a Radio Shack up here that's closing. It's right near Loyola University, and it's closing. And that's the one I would visit time and time and time again. It's closing. And some of these stores you visit so often and so much, you get to know the people who work there, because you're always there. And they're just so customer savvy. And to see a lot of these stores close is just heartbreaking. But, you know, I think this is just me, the George Wilder Jr. Show. I think if a lot of these stores start copying what Amazon is doing, Barnes & Noble just as successful. They have to take their brand online. You know, take your brand online. I'm pretty sure a lot of these stores that are closing, they do have online presence. I don't know how much you can buy from them online. But if Amazon is the elephant in the room, then they have to fall in line, or they're going to be out of business. And a lot of these Sears have already locked down in Chicago. They're already gone, because I went past Sears the other day and it was boarded up, at least around in this neck of the woods. It was boarded up on Lawrence. It was totally boarded up. And that's the one I visited years ago, where it was no one inside, you know. So it's heartbreaking that a lot of these stores, yeah, it's heartbreaking. The growing popularity of e-commerce is one of the reasons why retailers are closing so many stores. I mean, they are closing not just one, not just two, three, four, not just 10, but everything. Everything. Radio Shack. Wow. That's where I get my equipment from. Musical equipment, computers, what name it. It's gone. Payless, The Limited, Family Christian, H.H. Gregg, Wet Seal. Never heard of it, but they're closing 171 stores. Okay, let's go back to the top and tell you how many of these stores that they're closing. Radio Shack will be closing 552 stores. Payless will be closing 400 stores. The Limited, 250. Family Christian, closing 240. H.H. Gregg, 220. Wet Seal, 171. BB, 170. Crocs will be closing 160 stores. GameStop will be closing 150 stores. JCPenney announced that they are going to be open a little while longer, but they will be closing 138 stores. BCBG will be closing 120 stores. American Apparel, 110 stores. Kmart, 108 stores. Staples, 70 stores. CVS, 70 stores. Macy's, 68. Abercrombie and Finch, 60 stores. Guess, 60 stores. Sears, 42. Gander Mountain will be closing 30 stores. EMS, 27. Bob Stores will be closing 21 stores. It's awful the way you look at it. Because if they're closing this many stores, I don't know if this is the end or they're just closing some stores who aren't doing too well. But anyway, it's bad. It's bad. And this is the numbers I just called out, folks, is estimated based on news reports. Okay. So this is just news reports I'm calling off. It could be, you know, numbers could be a little higher, a little lower, but I'm pretty sure it's around the gist of what could be right, you know. So it's very, very sad, and it's a sad day that this is happening. It's a sad day that this is happening, that all these stores are closing, basically because I'm pretty sure the management at Amazon is saying, why do you guys keep blaming us for these stores are closing? Why do we keep blaming you? Because you are the blame. You are. And there's a lot of people who are hearing about these stores that are closing. And they are starting to get up and go shop. They're filling up these stores to keep the stores from closing. People are shopping now at some of these stores to keep them from closing. But I think it's a little bit too late. Some stores are just destined to close, regardless of how many people decide they want to go and shop into that particular store at that moment to try to save it from closing. It's already a done deal. And it's, you know, I mean, what can you say? This is a rotten deal for a lot of people and for America. You know, I actually think that the government should probably step in and save some of these stores. But if you get government involved in anything, it's going to be more of a disaster. So forget I even said that, you know. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, I want to thank my wonderful guest, Tina Gale, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And hopefully she'll come back in the near future. So if you guys didn't get that email address to check out her romance books, it's www.tinagale.com. Okay. I'm going to sure check it out because I'm interested. I am not a romance writer, folks. Don't get me wrong, but I have done a few short stories on, you know, on love. But I did it. I did it my way. I didn't do the normal genre. I didn't do the normal take on love stories as some people do. I did it my way, as Frank Sinatra would say. George did it his way. I'm doing the love stories my way, the way I want them done. It may not be a traditional kind of a love story as some of these romance writers write about. Oh, I've known tons of people who have done romance books. Sometimes I go to their websites and some of the books, there's a ton of them. I mean, maybe 20 or 30 of them sometimes or more that some of these authors do when it comes to romance. And some of the authors have some of the greatest looking book covers for some of these, I was going to say trash, but I'm not going to say that because I don't think it is trash, but it's great, especially when you get a romance book that is well done. And most of the I want to mention some names on the show, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want them to think that I'm trying to give them a shout out or anything. But some of them are my friends or were my friends. But some people that I know from Facebook and other places, they are some great writers. I mean, when it comes to romance, but there's a million romance novels out there on the shelf. How much can you write about romance? How can you keep rehashing it and coming out with something that's original? You know, and that's why I try to make whatever. I'm not a romance writer. I don't think I ever will be. But I do add an element of that in everything that I write. I have a book called, a short story called Under the Moonlight. It's a love story with a story, and it's not all sex. And for erotica, I am not. I never ever read erotica, and I don't think I want to. I know what it's about, and I don't think I need to do that. you know. So, but straight up clean. I like, if I'm gonna read romance, it's gonna be clean. You know, I don't need to read something low down, dirty, filthy, and just totally, you know, because there was a time I read a romance novel by an unnamed author, and it wasn't steamy. It was just nasty, period. It was just nasty. I think, I read a few romance novels by women. Most of the time, these romance novels are written by women. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. These women can really get in the gutter when it comes to writing about sex. They can really get down in the gutter, and they will say, I said, what? Is that right? All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We should be right back. We'll be right back.
During an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with poison keyboards. I guess what she's trying to say is that they're a bunch of internet trolls going out there just saying mean old things to Kellyanne, who really isn't doing anything wrong. She doesn't understand why people are being so mean and horrible to her these days. Now, according to this interview that she gave with Politico, she had explained to her children that, yeah, look, mommy's going to be doing this thing. People are going to come at her. It's going to be, you know, pretty ugly sometimes, but just deal with it. To be honest, that is a very good thing to tell your children. Yeah, when you're in the public spotlight, there's going to be the naysayers. But if she took the time to explain that to her children, maybe she should have taken the time to explain to her children that, hey, listen, mommy's going to have to go on TV and lie through her teeth to the American public about things that never happened. She is the one who came up with the term alternative facts. She is the one who invented the Bowling Green massacre that never happened. So I understand nobody likes to get criticized. But Kellyanne, you're inviting this on yourself. The people who criticize you, who call you out, are not unhappy people. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a very happy person. I love my life right now. But I will continue to criticize you anytime you feel the need to go on television and lie to the American public on behalf of Donald Trump. Anytime you make up a fake terrorist attack, we're going to be there, as will everybody else online. And it's not because we just dislike you. It's because we don't want you to continue to dumb down the United States. This is our civic duty, to hold you and everyone else in your White House accountable. So you may think it's fine to go out there and give these interviews and attack the people who you claim are attacking you. But the truth is, all we're doing is trying to hold you accountable and, to be honest, try to undo some of the damage that you're inflicting on the public today. There are Republicans out there in the United States today who, honest to God, believe that the Bowling Green massacre was a thing, that it happened, that it was carried out by Iraqi immigrants, and that U.S. citizens died as a result of it. And that's all on you, Kellyanne. You're poisoning the public discourse. It's not the people who dislike you. They don't have the problems. You do. And you need to learn, and you need to take the time to teach your children that when you screw up, you do get held accountable. When you lie to hundreds of millions of people, they're going to come after you. And the only way you can make it right is to go out and apologize and try to do the right thing from that point forward. That's what you need to learn. But honestly, I don't think you ever will. You're very happy being a stooge for Donald Trump. You have no problem going out in the media and just literally making things up. It must be nice to live in a world where you don't have to bother with things like research. You can just immediately go out there, say whatever you want. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't care. You just move on to the next interview. While the rest of us have to pick up the pieces and undo the damage that you cause every time you put your face in front of a camera. If you like this video, make sure you like, comment, share, and most importantly, subscribe to our YouTube channel.
All righty. This is, I think this Saturday is going to mark Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. And a lot of people are saying it's atrocious. Okay. He will also be trying once again to repeal Obamacare. Obama is not saying anything about it. I don't know why Obama refuses to say things to get out here and fight against these people who are trying to destroy his landmark signature, which is the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare. And he's going to try to do tax cuts. How in the hell is Trump is going to try to do tax cuts when he won't even show his own taxes? Why don't the IRS show us his taxes? You know, they can't, because the IRS knows what's in his taxes, but they are not allowed to say, I'm pretty sure. They have some sort of oath. But I would love to see see this guy's taxes, man, then we could run him out of office on just that. But even, you know what? I think the Republicans are so, the Republicans in Congress, they're so entrenched into Donald Trump. I don't think if there was a bomb in his taxes, they would not, you know, do anything about it because they're so much into aiding and abetting Donald Trump. Okay, the George Waddle Jr. Show is just about off the air. I think we got about a good 3 minutes left into the show. And I want to thank again Tina, author Tina Gale, for being on the show. She was beautiful. I think there was something wrong with her phone, but I do think that you heard her okay. And remember that she is at www.tinagale.com. Also, check out my Amazon on my Amazon, my page on Amazon, www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder. Okay, when you're checking out Tina Gale, make sure you check out George Waddle Jr. too. Also on, okay, we're gonna have to do this on out because we are running a little early. She was on a little bit too long, but she said she had fun, so that's good. That's always good. All right, thanks for enjoying the show, folks. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow. Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help us all. Got that tweet too. Yeah, I got it too.